Hey guys, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Wherever you're getting the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, aboutlastnightpodcast.com. We appreciate all the love and support, man. So many emails and tweets in the last few weeks about just old episodes, people catching up on some Dana Carvey, some Brent Morin, the Max Winkler episode we dropped on Monday has been getting some great love. Make sure to tune into that. And just appreciate all the tweets and Instagram posts and the love for our Brad and I's new promo pic for the podcast, the ET photo, which is just unreal. We're getting shirts and hats made of those. So look out. Those will be available on estoymerchandise.com, estoymerchandise.com, in the next few weeks for you guys to pre-order. Today's episode, Brad dropped his second Showtime special, Daddy Issues, on May 20th. And today's episode is kind of a look back, a recap of how Brad prepared for that, how he's, you know, how life has been post-special, preparing for that special, everything that comes with it. And then, after about 40 minutes of rehashing, we have some bonus footage that we recorded during the special while Brad was in the... green room getting ready, and then while we were shooting the sketch pre-show, and then right before he went on, Brad and I sat down with two-time ALN guest and Brad's manager, Barry Katz, to talk pre-special. So some bonus coverage live from the special, and then we break it down before that. And also, our social media guy, Norman, makes his first appearance with his sweet pipes, sweet Baltimore pipes. So enjoy today's episode, and of course, follow the podcast on Twitter at ALN Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad, at Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, at Adam Ray 33 on Instagram, at ALN Podcast on Instagram. Tour dates, shit, man. Tonight I'm at the Comedy Store at 9 p.m., and then tomorrow I leave for Tennessee. I'm doing Bonnaroo this weekend. Holy hell, in Tennessee. Doing shows with my boy Adam Devine, doing the goddamn Comedy Jam, and then hopefully seeing Pearl Jam and making my life complete. Brad is still in China, so hopefully he's not been kidnapped or put into some sort of sushi roll, but he's having fun. He'll come back with a lot of stories, no doubt. I've been texting with him a little bit, and it sounds pretty nuts. But Brad is in China. Go to his website, bradwilliamscomedy.com, for his tour dates out there. AdamRayTV.com for all my tour dates. Of course, I will be not on the road for a while. I'm going to be staying in L.A. for most of summer because, as I mentioned on the last podcast, I'm one of the new cast members of the new Mad TV, baby. Yeah! Come on, they're bringing it back. And I'm in the cast. I'm so fucking excited. It's going to be on the CW. I'm so pumped, man. I've wanted to do sketch comedy and characters my entire life. I've done them my entire life, and now I'm going to get to showcase it for the world, baby. I'm so pumped. So be on the lookout for that. I'll be giving you guys updates as we go along. But it's a dope cast, and I'm super pumped to be a part of it. I think that's it. Merch, estoymerchandise.com. Get your posters, mugs, shirts. Bring them to the shows. We'll sign them. Could be fan of the week, right? Get some free ALN merch. So many great guests coming, by the way. As I mentioned before, we've got some epic bookings, and you guys will you're just gonna be surprised. Of course, our boy Paul Feig. We recorded a Ghostbusters special with him that'll be out in a couple weeks before Ghostbusters drops on July 15th. Jonathan Kite is returning soon. Jake Zemanski, the director of Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, Adam Devine and Zac Efron's new comedy coming out soon, will be here. So many great apps, so make sure you subscribe on iTunes, give us that 5-star ratings and a comment on the iTunes page. Takes 2 seconds, helps us climb the charts. All right, now that we got the tour dates out of the way, those are the Twitter handles, that's all the merch info, and now sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast, a special episode behind the scenes of Brad's special, Daddy Issues, with Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Well, you haven't dressed any different.
I don't know.
You're still the same size.
Was I supposed to dress different?
I thought Having a billboard, I thought your confidence would grow, and maybe that would just bleed into your actual growth.
Oh, wow. Oh, God. You know what? That would be a fun movie. That's like my third movie. That would be...
You've already mapped out the first two.
It's like that Freaky Friday thing where instead I wake up in my dad's body and my dad wakes up in my body. I just wake up as a tall human.
You know what's
and
crazy?
I'm like, what the fuck? I have nightmares about that. And it's funny you bring that up. I've literally had a nightmare.
About a Freaky Friday?
Yeah, about like I wake up...
Swapping bodies with Jamie Lee Curtis?
Obviously. It's weird that I've met her now that it's weird to say that. Anyway, but like...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but it's like I had a nightmare once where I woke up and I was a tall human. And I literally was like panicking like... I don't know how to write jokes as a tall human.
That was your first thought.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's a normal thought.
Yeah. Not like, holy crap, the amount of poon I'm going to get because I'm now tall, but I have the short man's mentality. Holy shit, I'm going to be unstoppable. No, not that. My first thought was, how the hell am I going to write jokes about this?
Well, because that's your livelihood.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of the fun and the challenge. There's so much that encompasses stand-up for you.
Yeah. I did not think about going... to Six Flags and being like, you know what? Fuck y'all! You know today is my day!
By the way, that is a real, genuine like question that I don't think I've ever asked you. And you know, why would I?
But I didn't think about going and renting a car and not caring and just being like, yeah, I could drive it. Of course I can.
The simple things.
Yeah. Or like,
hey, how about this one?
Going shopping.
How about this one?
What's that?
Peeing at any urinal?
I mean...
Right?
God, you know what? And I hate that it's a joke in my act, and now it keeps happening. But by the way, thank you for you guys who are now tweeting me photos of when you see the little urinal. And you're like, holy shit, it is true. Now, like, if you go through my at mentions, it's just pictures of urinals. And you're like, wow, Brad's into some weird shit. thank you for you guys because it means you watched the special. So awesome. Thank you for that.
Yeah, that's right. Because you told the...
I told the urinal joke.
Yeah.
And, but now...
Wait, was it the... It wasn't the Pratt story, was it?
No. It wasn't the Pratt story.
Are you going to do that in the next special?
Yeah. I'll probably tell the Pratt story.
Because that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Which it's been documented on this podcast, so we won't tell that again. But it's weird to now. I'm sort of because it was a joke in the special. I'm sort of hyper aware, and I was in DFW airport, and it fucking happened again. And I'm gonna get in trouble one of these times. Like my TMZ moment is gonna be some guy thinking that I'm trying to like solicit him for sex at a urinal because I'm getting so close to people.
Yeah,
like I walked up like. Millimeters from this guy because all the urinals were open, just like my bit. All the urinals were open, and I walk up to the side of him because he's just at my urinal, and I'm like you know how when friends used to like hold their fingers like inches from your face and go, I'm not touching you, not touching you, not touching you. Like that's what I was doing to him, only with my dick out, just like not touching you, not touching you. It's not illegal.
So I think what we're doing here is you know what, actually what we're doing here is
wait, are we gonna hear from Norm?
Yeah, we are.
Oh my God,
pull that mic close.
So guys, you know the people that the guy that has been scaring our guests because he walks in randomly to Adam's apartment,
you wonder what that voice sounds like,
and then they jump and go, who that? Hi Norm.
What's going on?
Pretty good intro.
I think you put a little more gusto than your normal voice. You're like, oh shit, this is my intro. What up, ladies?
You put me on the spot.
Have you heard your voice before?
I have not. This is weird.
Yeah.
Definitely weird.
Yeah. Just imagine when you go back and listen to it.
Do you know how stoned that you sound when you talk into the mic?
My mom's told me.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But you know what? I say that jokingly, but a little bit. But it's also like, I think, and this is probably an accusation that stoners get a lot, is like, you know, maybe I'm not stoned, man. Maybe I'm just real chill. You know, maybe I'm a smooth talker, which you are.
I mean, you adapt too, being out here. I feel like you got to fit in when you're talking amongst stoners.
Yeah. There's a lot of them.
You know, when you said the word talking, that's when I heard the Baltimore accent. Yeah. Right there. It's a little walking.
I am from the East.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I am from the East. And you're like a live Eeyore.
I'm from the East.
But happier.
I moved out here. Now I'm all alone.
Norm, tell our listeners where you came from and what you do out here.
Sure. So I'm originally from Baltimore, Maryland. Yeah. Born and raised. Mm-hmm. And
do you rep Baltimore hard?
Hard.
But I know sports-wise you do, but like, you know the way that I, you know, will pimp out like how fresh the air is in Seattle or how great it is in the summertime. Like, I haven't heard you yet be like, oh, Baltimore in May is the shit.
Because Norman's more like, man, our drive-bys are on point.
Jesus.
Like, there's no spray. All right. There's no innocent bystanders. Like, we kill who we set out to kill.
Wow.
That's what's funny, though, because when people find out that I am from Baltimore, immediately it's, have you seen The Wire? Like, immediately. The only question.
You're like, yeah. Of course. The same way when people come up to me and go, you're a dwarf, so Peter Dinklage, you're like, yeah, I wake up and pray to a statue to him every day. Like, that's what we do.
For me, I think it's, do you like Sean Kemp, or have you seen Sleepless in Seattle?
Or is Sean Kemp your father?
Wow. How dare you? You know
what? I mean, it's
any,
a pretty legitimate question.
No,
though.
It's not. And you know how sensitive I am to any Sonics related joke.
Sure. which as like you have no idea. I mean, and here's something that
careful with your words.
Yes. No, and I'm choosing them very carefully right now.
I have
now.
A big day tomorrow. Don't make me cry.
Yeah, exactly. Here's something that here's how shitty men are and that do you ever give yourself props for stuff you thought about doing but then decided not to?
Every time.
Yeah. Like you're like, I could have just shoved that old woman over, but I didn't. I'm a great person. Like when I was watching the Thunder, like in get up on the Warriors, like three to one, I was like, oh man, I could be like writing jokes to Adam right now about the Thunder, but I'm not going to do it. And that makes me a good person.
And it does make you a good person. And here's the thing, man. I wanted them to win because I wanted them to go to the finals and lose in seven there.
Oh,
because that's
so
more
wanted,
heartbreak.
You wanted extra knife turning.
And I have no problem saying that. I said that to my mom and dad. My dad laughed and goes, Jesus. My mom goes, why would you say that? That is so, oh, come on. Well, also, she's from Oklahoma. So she tough. It's, you know, she's sad that I'm sad. She's sad because she loves basketball. But she's also like, she loves that her hometown, you know, has something to root for like that. But I wanted them to experience the ultimate amount of heartbreak.
Sure.
And losing in the Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals isn't on par with losing a franchise.
True.
No, it's
losing
not.
Losing in Game 7 of the Finals, which would inevitably mean that Durant was going to leave, which I think he is going to anyway.
Yeah.
I really think he's going to. A lot of people think, why would you? Because that team is dope. They were one game away. There's
and the
no
money,
reason.
If you wait 2 years and you're Durant, you get $400 million from OKC. So you might want to wait it out.
Yeah, that's...
But he's also got like $100 million from Fila or Quiznos. Who's giving him the contract?
Chuck E. Cheese. I think he's an Under Armour guy.
Under Armour.
Yeah.
By the way, Chuck E. Cheese, there should be some places... Well, somebody told me, by the way, that they're going to start putting those... ads on the jerseys.
Yeah, for the NBA.
What the fuck?
Right.
That sucks.
Yeah, I think it... I mean...
I get it, obviously. Snapple, I mean, like...
Sure, you want to make money, but at the same time, like, those jerseys are just so pure,
they're
and
pure.
They're so good, and now you're going to have, a jersey with Yoo-Hoo, like a little Yoo-Hoo sticker on the side
of it. That's the thing. How big is the sticker? How big is the emblem of the...
Well, they said it's going to start with just a little square on the top left corner. Like... Remember how they used to have like the black captain's stripe?
Yeah,
like that. It's gonna be something like that.
Soon, it's just you're gonna just have to know. I think that they're gonna probably get rid of the players' names. You're gonna have to know the players, and it'll just be Yoo-Hoo and a number on the back.
Oh,
they need to get rid of the sleeves, though. Those jerseys with the sleeves on them need to go.
Those are bad.
I hate those. And they're like, oh, it's just one little ad on the top. I'm like, that's how it starts. That's how the infection starts. And pretty soon their jersey looks like a fucking NASCAR just going down the court. And you're like, all right, this game sponsored by Viagra, Tide, Pepsi. All are wonderful products, and we hope that they sponsor this podcast. But
I'm glad you didn't send me any...
Well, any wrong messages. Because I remember the debacle that was the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
So
I appreciate that.
When I sent you that Facebook. No, I just posted it.
You posted it.
It was just out there to everybody.
It was 16-7.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And Russell just thrown his fourth pick.
Yeah.
And there was 4 minutes left. So it was like, and they have the ball. So it was like, oh,
so it's done.
They'll run it out because even if we get it back, we have to, everything that needed to happen. And you posted on my Facebook wall. I think we've talked about this.
Yeah.
You posted on my Facebook wall. Did somebody tell the Seahawks?
Yeah, the Seahawks are going to be really disappointed when they found out there was a game today.
And emotions are running high. And I'm in a San Jose sports bar.
Oh,
in a bar that I'm already not welcomed in. Like, the owner has already yelled at me twice for screaming and cheering too loud. And I go, hey, man, I bought drinks and food, and I'm cheering at a sports bar. You really think you're on the right? And he was like, dude, you need to chill. And then Mark Saratella was like, yeah, bro, chill. And I was like, all right.
And when Mark Saratella is telling you to chill, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm getting out of control.
It was the voice of reason. It was the Jiminy Cricket on my shoulder. And then you posted that. And the bubble in my blood was hot. And it was.
Wow, that sounds like an 80s hairband lyric. The bubble in my blood was hot. Running hot, it was boiling.
I would not buy that album.
Oh, man.
Wait, what constitutes an 80s metal hairband?
I don't know. So, like, you got your White Snakes.
That's right.
You got your...
Here I Go Again.
Yeah. You got those. You got Poison. You got Motley Crue.
Does Hanson qualify as a...
They have to.
As a hair rock band?
Hair
they
metal
have
band?
To. So serious about that. They must.
I mean, Norm said that, like he was sending someone out to... dispose of the Lord of the Ring. Like, yeah. They must.
Yeah. I grew up on Hanson because I have two sisters. So, I mean, mm-hmm. That's understandable.
So, yeah. so is the lead singer of Hanson. Get it? Because of the other ones look like girls.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Hanson, hey, I enjoyed Hanson. First of all, if you don't like Umbop, consider yourself not a friend of mine.
All right.
No, let me start over. If you don't appreciate the catchy melody, you don't have to like it, but you need to understand why it was so popular.
Hey, man. Do I like Backstreet Boys music? No. Can I still sing, like, all of the lyrics? Sure.
So what does that mean?
I mean, it's I'm just saying that Mbop is one of those songs
exactly.
That, like, even if you don't like it, you know it.
Yeah, okay? You're the dick if you tell the person to turn that off.
Yeah, if you know all the lyrics and you sing to it when it comes on, if you're in a bar and it comes on and you're drunk, you're going to sing to it.
Hell
and
yeah.
And your brain, you as Brad, might go on the service, I don't like that. But guess what? Your body likes it.
Sure. Well, that's that moment. Remember in Tommy Boy when the song comes on and they both look at each other like, you can change it?
Yeah.
I'm what good if you are, it? Dude. Don't you know how you told me you love me, baby?
Baby, baby.
That one. So, like, if you're in the car with four of your dudes and Mbop, if a Selena Gomez song comes on, you're like, oh, fuck that. And then you just change it. No hesitation. Not one of your friends going to yell out, I like that song. That's not going to happen. But if Mbop comes on, there's always that moment where, like, you all look at each other like...
You contemplate, oh, shit.
Like, are we doing this? Are you changing the channel?
Can I be honest?
I'm not changing.
If I found out my kid lost his virginity to this, I'd be pumped.
You'd be proud.
I also there's also a small part of me that goes, I want this to come on after, like when they say when I break the glass at my Jewish wedding. Even if she's not Jewish, I'll do it because it's a tradition and it's cool.
Mazel tov.
It's a cool tradition.
Yeah.
It's a cool way to put the stamp on it. Other than just the standard. You do, and you kiss.
Well,
you know.
You know what though? I like that.
It's one extra stamp,
and it's literally putting the stamp on it.
Yeah,
yeah.
True.
And it's kind of violent, and it's almost like even though the guy does it, but it's almost like the girl. She's like, if you fucking back this up, like I'll do this to your fucking dick in your sleep. Like she's thinking that when
she's looking at him.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's an extra. So after that would happen.
Yeah,
I would want that to come on.
There you go.
Or, and I'll pull it up. But. I mean,
wedding playlist.
Ooh. I mean,
well, we've talked about this. Brad and I have talked about the songs we want to walk down the aisle to. Norm.
Oh, the Whisper song. Easy.
What?
Wait, do you see my dick? Hey, you know the yay yay twins?
When you said the Whisper song, here's how I know I'm getting old. is you said the Whisper song.
Oh, no.
And my head went to... Dun, 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 dun. I went to Careless Whisper. That's where I went.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm so white.
Complete just... I mean, make the parents proud. You're walking to the Whisper song.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a moment. I mean, I've said before on the podcast, I want to walk down the aisle to the Hulk Hogan theme music. I want to come down to Real American.
That's respectful.
I mean,
will too. That's not a joke.
I think it's good, and I hope the great Jim Ross. Oh man,
this is what I want to walk down the aisle to.
Is this in the House of Soul and Light? No. What's this?
Wait. All right. Well, let me just stop it first of all and give some attention to what you just said. Because that is a 90s song that was on every, now that's what I call music CD.
Yeah.
It was on every
credit sequence for a romantic comedy.
In the House of Stone and Light.
No one knows any other lyric except for
In the House of Stone and Light. Brian, can you pull up the artist of In the House of Stone and Light?
I don't even know who sings it.
Now this is a song, by the way. You know the band.
Okay.
Because it's the Cars. But this is one of those songs that, like...
Oh, Who's Gonna Drive You Home?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This is, like... This to me, is probably a sad song, right? Mm-hmm. Who's Gonna Drive You Home? The music video of this now would be a drunk girl who got kicked out of her Uber because she was so fucked up. And she's in a part of town she's not familiar with.
Yeah.
And her phone was dead. You know?
Yeah.
And maybe it's just one long shot of her following... I mean, and she walks down Sunset... And she sees Brad and a funky duck not helping her.
Which, I feel like...
Way, go ahead.
Yeah, you have to be for that song on a beach if you're getting married. That's like that... I don't know. That just felt beachy to me. That song felt so beachy.
I love that.
It was a little beachy.
Yeah.
No, what? Martin Page?
I couldn't tell you.
Do you have the song?
I mean, at this point, you can probably, unless he's dead, you can probably get Martin Page to do the song.
Now, Brad, I want to know.
What's he doing?
Yeah. Brad, I want to know why, because you came out to what during the special?
It was just a generic thing that we didn't have to pay for.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the money that's involved.
Yay, legalities and things like that you don't realize when you're doing a special. Like, when you're doing a special, you're like, oh, man, I'm going to come out to AC/DC. I'm going to have an Elmo on my T-shirt. I'm gonna have all this. Shout out to Subway, but it's like, oh yeah, you can't do that because people own that shit. And if you have any joke in your act where you sing a song, you have to you can only sing it for so many seconds before you have to cut it off because then you have to pay for it.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Did they like make you clear everything before you stepped on stage?
All the material, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, like they had seen it and they knew they're for the first special. And this is just a little sort of Easter egg, and I have it at the end of both my specials. If you look at the credits, at the very end, I have the list of people that I thank.
Right.
And then at the very end, I say, and Kevin, I hate you. Okay. And that's because that's my brother-in-law,
yeah.
Kevin, who, if you know me, me and my brother-in-law have a great relationship, but we're constantly trying to say fuck you to each other in very creative ways. So, he would sometimes send postcards to me from different places that just say...
Fuck
you. Yeah, just say fuck you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, it's like, I get a postcard from Turks and Caicos, and I turn it over, just says fuck you. Like, that's kind of our thing. So, I thought that I would win by saying, I hate you, Kevin, at the end of my special. And there was literally, they called me up. They're like, so who's this Kevin guy? Is he going to sue you? Is he going to sue us for defamation of character? I'm like, first of all, just says Kevin. How many fucking Kevins are there? Tons.
Get an angry tweet from Durant. I saw that.
This is why I'm leaving OKC.
Who would be the top Kevins right now?
Oh, wow. Top five Kevins?
Well, let's all give our top five Kevins and then see who has a better list. I'm going to go first.
All right.
Because I came up with the game.
Okay. Makes sense.
Kevin McAllister from Home Alone.
Shit, that was
Yep.
Man.
Well, fucking, that's why I went first. But I love where your head's at.
That's good, Kevin.
Kevin Nealon.
Yeah.
I'm not going with KD Durant because, it's too soon.
Yeah.
And B, it was already mentioned.
The go-to Kevin.
I'm going Nealon. I'm going McAllister.
Yeah.
I'm going Kevin Eubanks from The Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Kevin Johnson from the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah. I've seen some reports on HBO's Real Sports. I would not go with him.
What did he do?
Ooh, he's got some He's got some.
Oh wait, you know what he did?
He kept the Kings
from moving to Seattle. Fuck that guy.
All right, KJ.
He's on my fuck Kevin list. No, wait. Let me rephrase the title of the list. He's on my fuck that guy. Screw that guy named Kevin. Figuratively speaking, yeah, screw that guy. Screw that guy because of what he's done, but not any in any physical way.
Short list, but it's there.
McAllister and Nealon and Eubanks. I'll just go top three.
Okay.
Norm?
Yeah, top three is fair.
I'm definitely going Kevin James. Yeah, it cracks me up.
Yeah. Oh, man. Kevin James.
I mean.
Phone call rhythm. That's my favorite Kevin James joke.
What is that?
Phone call rhythm, where he's like, get the rhythm right. Bum-bum-ba, bum-ba, bum-ba.
That's a great impression.
Do you ever get those guys that call you up? They're like, yeah, give me the number. Like, okay, the number is 2129. 212-942-794 pound sign. No! Bum-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. That's the rhythm.
That's so funny.
I love that joke.
That's great.
So good.
He's great.
So
he's,
good pull.
Yeah.
Kevin James.
I got to go. I mean, this will be up for debate, I'll go Connolly solely for the purpose of dating Sloan.
That's not up for debate. Also, he's dope. He's a dope actor. Right. He's the man.
Yeah. Good actor. Dude. Good guy. We hear from our boy, Jerry.
I've heard
some Connolly stories.
Yeah. He's coming on the podcast. The last time I talked to Jerry, he said they spoke about it and he was all in, but then he went to New York. So,
well, now he's getting name dropped. So, fucking good.
There you go.
Number three, Kevin. McAllister was the
one. Okay, you can have it.
I mean,
I'll share him. Brad?
Well, I mean, midgets got to support other midgets, so I got to go Kevin Hart.
Wow. Shots fired.
That was cold-blooded.
First of all, make that t-shirt, please. Midgets got to support other midgets.
So go Kevin Hart.
Just you dapping up Kevin Hart.
All right. Now, is that...
Yeah.
Who else?
I'm trying to think. God, Kevin, man, you really went number one on the Family Feud board when you took Kevin McAllister off the list. I would have to go Kevin from The Office.
Okay.
Acceptable.
Yeah. I mean, he always had some great lines when Jim got the entire division to think that he was special needs, and he kept kind of that up without knowing it.
Can I just give you guys?
Thought that was pretty solid.
Can I? All right. Do you have a third? Because if not, I'm going to read you a list of famous Kevins that I just Googled famous Kevins.
Spacey. We missed Spacey.
We missed Spacey. Oh, Spacey.
Yo, no. There's two even bigger ones.
Oh, shit.
We missed Costner.
Oh.
Dancing with Wolves.
Yeah. How do we miss Costner?
That's real.
How about this one?
I got to adjust my list.
What's one of your favorite breakfast treats that some Jews can't eat?
What? Oh.
Klein.
Bacon. Kevin Klein. Jews can't eat Klein. Oh yeah, we all know that when Moses came down from on high on the tablets, and he said,
"Do not eat Rebecca Klein. She has a stinky snatch."
Can't eat Klein.
Spacey is a big pull.
Spacey's
Kevin,
solid.
How about this one? Okay. If this was on anybody's list, it would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Federline.
Oh my God.
I mean,
there's a throwback. No bad.
He did bring us Popos out. So, I mean, maybe he's not on Mount Rushmore.
Wait. Was that the song or the album?
I think that was the song.
Popos out.
Popos out. Yeah, I think that was.
Don't
it.
Act like you don't know the full song.
You gotta go away with that.
I think it was a song.
All right, we don't. Brian, in the House of Stone and Light, was it pulled up?
There you go.
Now, if only Federline had sampled this behind Popo's Out.
Sure. Well, then it would have been a hit.
You turn up, Bri?
Perfect. There it is.
I've been walking along a crooked path. Crooked path, yeah. These songs were all about long journeys.
Yeah.
You know? I will not rest
till I let down my head. This is great. I'm gonna go in the house of stone and
light. I shall not cry for the blind man. There were like plenty of songs.
For the blind man I leave behind?
Oh, wait a minute. Shit.
So he's taking a long journey. Did you hear the... Dude, what was up with guys in the 80s fucking with blind people? Blind Malucci's hello. Singing to the blind woman, hello, is it me you're looking for? I say to my act, no, she's blind. She was looking for a door handle to grab a hold of.
Yeah.
She paid for soup with a napkin. She's right. Not looking for love. This guy's like... He just sang, I'm not gonna cry for the blind man I left behind. So no doubt he let a blind man as far as he could go and
right,
goes,
and said, fuck it, blind
goes,
man.
The bus stop's over there. I hope you make it. In the house of stone and love.
I'm gonna point you in the right direction. Hope you don't trip in the house of stone and like, fuck, it's a blind guy.
But you know, it's almost like he said nasty shit and then goes, I'll make up for it with this catchy ass melody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I think there's like a recorder that comes in.
Here it is.
Like, right here.
Yeah,
I think so.
Wait. In the house of stone.
Or did... There it is.
And then there's a killer fucking sax solo, I think.
Wow.
Not sax, just people.
Yeah.
There's also, by the way, a seance or some sort of fucking
right.
Crime being committed. No, what am I looking for?
I think if you play this song over an Ouija board, your great-grandma just pops up.
And she pops up and goes, don't go down on Rebecca Klein.
Yeah, the famous Jewish rule all right,
Brian,
that
that's
we all
good.
Know about.
Brian, that's good. God bless you.
In the house of stone and light.
What a throwback.
It's funny, like... We don't have that sort of genre of music anymore. Like we had that, we had Collective Soul, we had do you remember that song that was like,
come on, obviously, dude, End of Innocence, Age of Innocence, End of Innocence,
yeah, that one.
Because I feel like songs back then
Return
all told stories.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, panda, panda, panda. And like, can't
that's
do
not
it.
A real song, is it?
It's a song, dude.
It's a panda song?
It's called Panda, and the dude says panda maybe 72 times. And that's the song.
Hey, Kevin Smith.
That's a big one. Oh, Kevin Smith.
Here's a big
How
one.
How do I forget Kevin Smith? I love Kevin Smith.
Here's a big one that neither one of you guys would have gotten because you're not as avid of a Muppet Sesame Street fan as I am. Kevin Clash. Now, do you know who that is?
Was he the puppeteer?
From Elmo. Yeah.
From Elmo. He is Elmo.
Yeah, he is Elmo.
From Elmo. How dare you?
Of the Elmos? He's Kevin Clash of the Elmos?
Yo, but here is something that'll blow your mind.
Okay.
I know you probably know once I'll say it, but you don't know because, again, you just grew up in a different... your house was not filled with as much Muppeting as mine was.
Is that a word?
It is now.
All right.
If you're a fan of the Muppets, anything goes.
That should be an Olympic sport. Representing the United States in Muppeting. Adam Ray.
Oh, my God.
I don't
Finally,
know.
I got to hear it. No, Kevin Clash, the voice of Elmo, and also the voice of Splinter.
Really?
The original Turtles.
Oh,
unreal,
right? How did they give you that job after Elmo?
Because Jim Henson's Creature Shop did the first Ninja Turtles. Here's what I want to talk about in the last, I'd say, 10 to 15 minutes.
Yes.
So at the end of this podcast, we're going to share about 20 or so minutes of audio that was recorded at the at your special taping.
Yeah.
That was, we brought the equipment and we got interviews with you. Mm-hmm. And pre-show with Barry Katz, your manager, who's
a
two-time guest.
And a guy that whenever we have on, everyone just goes, hey, just have him on. You guys shut up and don't ever talk again. And just have Barry talk. Yeah.
And even in those, I think we got about 10 minutes with him pre-show was great. I mean, it's...
insightful.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. And it was cool to capture that because... you know, then I think for people who have seen the special and who will see the special will enjoy a little behind the scenes access.
And I could tell you what it was like, but to have that, I'm so glad we had that moment and had the microphones going at that moment to catch my feelings because, like, my family was there.
Yeah.
If you've seen the special, you know about the ending where I have the moment with my dad, which was not planned.
Yeah,
which was like I never performed that material in front of him before. So when I made eye contact with him. It was like, ah, shit. Yeah. Like, here we go.
You were also abnormally loose, which, like, you know, for the handful of, I mean, I guess you just, like, you want to stay loose, but, like, and I guess you had your moment. I think you left us at one point and, like, did your weird little, I don't know, dwarf jig or whatever to get in the zone.
There's some chanting.
Do you vocal warm-up? Like, there was a time when you...
But I mean, which is
a little bit surprising to me because like there is a, in the voice class that I had at USC, like there are some like exercises that like I have found to be beneficial, but like you are very, like you've got a booming voice and you like,
I yell a lot, but
controlled. Maybe you just know how to breathe properly.
You know, it's,
or maybe your
thing
diaphragm
where...
is smaller, so you're not using as much.
I kind of just know. Like, there, I do know a couple tricks on how to make my voice sound louder, and I know some tricks with the microphone to make it kind of do certain effects.
Of course.
And that just comes with experience and
But no vocal warmth is kind of crazy because, you know, you're talking a lot. Not only on stage, but with the pod and your everyday life.
Right. I don't know. It's just, but I did.
Well, can I recommend one?
Yeah, sure.
Badoo, badoo, badah, badoo, badoo, badah.
I feel like the earth is going to open up and, like.
You have summoned me, the Prince of Darkness. I am here.
Why is he a prince? Why can't he be the king?
Well, you know, my dad hasn't died yet. I'm still a prince. We all know the king.
Wow, not bad. See, that's what I'm talking about. No warm up for that. You're going to pay for that tomorrow.
Yes, some, sure, maybe. I don't know. I drink a lot of tea.
You do, don't you?
I do.
Well, there's your secret.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to get more on the tea boat. And
that sounds like you're getting a ticket for a gay cruise.
Well, let me just tell you something. Next year, if it's a good season, I'm getting 2 front row tickets to the T-boat.
Oh, that's saucy.
Why is saucy such an effeminate word?
I don't know.
There's no powerful masculine way to say it.
I mean, maybe if it's. I mean,
that girl was saucy. That dinner was saucy. Either way,
but it becomes incredibly masculine if you say barbecue before the saucy, like
barbecue sauce.
Like, well, now it's,
well,
like,
I know. Well,
right.
You did a thing with your voice to make it more manly.
Now I did it like barbecue sauce,
and I feel like we say sauced when we're talking to each other.
Yeah, we're getting, or is that like an East Coast thing? Drunk?
Yeah,
like,
sauced.
Yeah, we're
bit.
sauced. Yeah.
I think hammered was like a West Coast thing. Mm-hmm. Hammered or
shit faced.
Yeah,
yeah.
Housed,
plastered.
Housed. Ooh.
Never heard of housed?
Never heard of housed. I think the weirdest one and the weird words for drunk Hall of Fame, and I learned this from my buddy Jeff Keith. He does a joke about it, and then when I went there, it's real, is people from Rhode Island say cocked.
Oh, God.
And, for being drunk?
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to go get cocked tonight.
Yikes.
Well, and, I'm not going to Rhode Island anytime soon.
and you just hear it, and if you're not from there, you take a moment like, huh? And then I think they take pride in knowing that it fucks people up. Like, it makes people go like, wait, what? Like, wait, I thought we were friends. No, we're friends. So we're going to go out and get cocked together. Wait, I'm not ready for that. I need to get drunk.
I don't even know your favorite color yet.
I need to get drunk before I get cocked.
Yeah, for sure. Make that T-shirt.
Yeah.
You know what's so funny, Norm? You mentioned, like, hearing something like that be in their vernacular, but it's, and make you not want to go there. I know you said that in jest, but... there are certain things that happen in certain places that make me go, oh, not going there. Mm-hmm. And I guess what I'm referring to is recently in Thailand, a python came through a man's toilet and bit his penis.
Saw that.
Yep, saw that story.
Now, guess what? I saw that and go, cool, not going to Thailand ever. That's how that works. I will adjust my travel plans because snakes coming through toilets is a clear sign that the world is ending.
Yes.
And by the way, I read... a lot of articles, and this dude was not even pooping, and he was sitting. So, hey, man, maybe that's
he
on
deserved
you
it, yeah.
for fucking peeing and sitting as a dude.
Yeah.
Also, I know that for a fact, girls probably read that and were like, well, you know, the snake didn't have anything to bite. He'd probably be the first one to find the clit. But so the snake came through this guy's toilet, and I read the article. There was an officer quoted as saying, he goes, it's actually like the, that's the worst Thai accent ever.
That's... I mean, it's not racist, because...
it's not, because it's not an attempt.
No, because I think it'd be more racist if you're like, oh, that was the fourth guy ever. Oh, like, yeah, that's racist. Right. But, like, if
please,
you're...
please make my voicemail tonight with that.
Oh, you're with Adam Ray's cell phone. He is not here right now. But if you don't hold on the line, I'll give you some fat pad Thai.
Dude, that's really good.
Is it good? I don't know.
That is good.
It was great.
Is it? I don't know.
It was like that Team America accent.
Yeah. You know what? That's who I'm doing an impression of.
That's fine.
Now to think about it, I'm Kim Jong-un. I'm doing an impression of the...
Kim Jong-il.
Yeah, Kim Jong-il. Oh, Hans Bricks, you son of a bitch. Motherfucker, Hans Bricks. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's incredibly racist. So I'm glad that you went like the complete...
But the guy...
opposite direction of being racist.
The guy in the article goes, we've actually seen snakes come through toilets before. Like, that's not the rare part. What's crazy, but they usually bite legs. So this is the first time a snake has come through a toilet and bitten a penis. And I go, hey, man, did you just indirectly compliment the size of that guy's dick?
Yeah.
Like, being like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that snake came up and saw what he thought was a leg.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, I'd love to start working with that leg dick. I'm working with more of a fucking ankle cock. Or, you know.
How about how we try to validate that that's okay over there?
Like, yeah. Yeah, like, oh, yeah, snakes come up through toilets all the time. Really?
Dude, what? That's so crazy.
That's insane. That's when I'm at peace. That's when I'm, like, most...
That should be me time.
That's my thinking chair. You know what I mean? It is. That's
how long?
Not good.
How long do you average? What's the longest you think you've been in the bathroom?
Oh,
because Brad, you strike me as an iPad guy.
Yeah.
In the bathroom, right?
I mean, I have. I'm not gonna lie. I've done that. There's sometimes after a long flight where I haven't really done, like, I haven't had time to like do actual business, not shit business, but like actual business on my phone.
And by the way, shit business is a band I would love to go see.
Right. And then I finally get to my hotel room and I'm like, okay. And I have to shit.
Yep.
And I gotta work. So then, it could be good 5 to 10 minutes. Like, I'm just there.
Okay. That's not
respectable.
There. That's fine. That's respectable. If you were gonna say 45 to an hour.
Yeah, but I read the article that you saw.
Yeah.
And this guy who shits and got caught by the snake, 30 minutes.
Jeez.
30 minutes in the article. He's like, yeah, I was there for 30 minutes every day. Like, he says it like that's what he has to carve out. 30 minutes of his day.
Well, and I think, guess what, man? If you're taking a shit for 30 minutes, then at some point an animal
is going to
Well, also I think God just goes like, that's too long. Like, right. Nobody should do that.
Look at this world I created for you and you're spending all your time in the toilet.
Yeah, well, guess what? Weren't pythons a part of the, like,
yeah, it was it was Satan.
It was like Ten Commandments shit.
Yeah, well, the snake in the Garden of Eden. That's,
yeah,
I just, you know, I know nothing about theology, but yeah, it was a snake in the Garden of Eden, which was represent the devil. So you know what? That was Satan. Like, you know what? You're shitting too much.
Come out and enjoy the world.
Yeah, and now all it's gonna cost you is your dick.
It's funny about shitting too. Thinking about how there is that moment you have when you're shitting for too long, and you're like, is this taking too long?
Well, you usually feel in your legs. Your legs start to go numb.
That's true.
Well, Brad, you seemed very loose in the special, and it was cool. We got to capture that. And
well, you know what helped? And this is not just me saying this because you're here right now, but it helped having you back there. It helped having, like, Barry back there. Kit Quigley was back there because when
Norm was back there.
Yeah. Who? when I did the first special. A, I was nervous because it was my special.
Yep.
B, it was up in Santa Barbara, and while my family was there, I didn't have a lot of people. I know, like, Eric Myers opened for me, but I didn't have a lot of people kind of around me.
Yeah.
Kind of, because everyone left me alone.
Calm the nerves.
Yeah. So it was nice that I had you guys there to where I could just shoot the shit, and it felt like a normal show, and I didn't get all up in my head about it, and I think
that's kind of you. I mean, you know, innately, you're like, I know the stakes are higher because it is taped and it is going to be. But I think that having that around you pre-show does help to, I mean, like you just said, like saying it's another show is how you kind of want to treat a big. I mean, it's like when athletes are like, yo, we're not doing anything different. It's another game 7 of the World Series, but like it's just another game. And you have to go in because you have to stay loose like that. Because I think in any job, like when you tense up as human beings, when they tense up and get in their head, like we're not at our best.
No. And if I start thinking like, oh shit, like what joke comes after this? Did I say it right? Did I forget a word? Like if I start going instead of just doing what I do every night, which is go on stage and do this set.
And trust and be loose.
Yeah, exactly. So
I mean, for both of you, I guess, is it stay that same when you're just doing the Laugh Factor or some, like a regular set every night? Are you, do you like people around you?
Well, that's why you practice, how you play. Or is it you play how you practice?
Yeah, I think it's you play how you practice.
But I mean, so like 99 out, I mean, like that's why it's like you gotta fucking bring it every time. And like you can't take a night off. And when you're going up, like, you're cheating yourself if you don't treat every show as something to for you to get
try to learn from.
Yeah, and if you don't give it your best, you're not going to whether you give it your best and the crowd is weird or you do some new bits that go well or don't do well, like you're only going to learn if you put it all out there, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think you just get in a routine and condition yourself to do that so that when that special comes along, you're like,
oh, yeah, oh, cool. I've done this before.
Yeah, I bring it all the time when I go on stage. So now I just got
to. Yeah, I don't have to do it extra hard tonight or anything like that. I don't have to change anything. The material has been working the way I've been performing it. So let's just keep doing what I've been doing.
So I was like a stress ball for you.
Yeah.
A giant Jewish stress ball.
A giant. I mean, so you squeeze and just goes, oi.
How dare you? That's really funny.
You should make those.
Norm, you were at the special.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Your quick thoughts?
It was, I mean, you know, before the show even, seeing you so relaxed going up, because I've been watching you come out in LA so many times that it was like another day. Like, it was literally just watching you for longer on stage, and presence was the same, material killed, and I saw you run that at the factory, and like, even though I had seen it, it was new to me.
Yeah.
And I think that in stand-up is special, that every time you see a show, no matter how many times you've seen the person, it's a new, it feels so new. And
that, by the way, is a challenge that people forget, is like making material seem new
that you've done 500 times before.
Right. And just because even though you're like, I'm doing this like for 4 or 5 months to get ready for something, but like, you know, but that's the type of like work mentality you have to have to get it good for the special. Is like just trying to bring it for that new audience.
Yeah, and remember that someone every night is seeing you for the first time.
Yeah,
right. They don't know that this is your 500th time plus doing this material. So, it was a great night, fun night. Great to be surrounded by friends and family, and I'm thrilled that now you get to listen to us when backstage, like. Before the show, I think we got something very brief after the show, right? Did we? I don't know.
We might have. We got mostly pre-show. We did. I did put
we're
a mic.
We're so professional.
No. Well, we talked about getting like pre-show interviews and people in line.
Yeah.
But it got a little chaotic.
Sure.
But I did put a mic in your bedroom that night. So.
Ooh. All right. Well, my girl's going to be kind of frustrated with that, or I don't know.
No.
We'll see. No.
Her noises were fine. It was yours that I would be concerned about. I'll give people a preview because I don't know if Brad will listen to that part. Here's what it sounds like. Net. Oh, God. Hell yeah.
It's like looking into a mirror. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a good Brad Williams impression.
I mean, the post show, if we remember correctly, Brad was running around on the Funky Duck.
I was.
Wow, that's right. What a great talk about a post show party.
Yeah, that was and Brent Morin came by, Adam Devine came by, and I was very intoxicated. I popped a bottle of Dom, and I was going around on a Funky Duck.
Classic Brad Williams style.
Yeah,
didn't bust the swords out, but you know,
no, didn't bust the swords
that's
out.
That's special number three.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to do that. That's gonna be my entrance with the like some John Williams shit playing in the background.
Or maybe it's just you doing that.
Yeah. It's not an orchestra. It's just me with the microphone going. All right, guys. I think I got the new special.
Yeah. All right. Enjoy this bonus audio from Brad's special, Daddy Issues, which is still available. Right?
Yeah. It's available on demand on Showtime, on the Showtime app, and they're also replaying the crap out of it. So just check your local listings.
Just sit in front of Showtime 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah, you'll see it. So thank you guys, and enjoy.
In the house of stone and light. So we're backstage getting ready to do the blocking for Brad's, for the scene before Brad's special, which Brad, you wrote.
I did at 3 o'clock in the morning in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Hey, that's where all great stand-up special scenes are written.
Richard Pryor wrote the entire Live on the Sunset Strip in Cincinnati, Ohio. Yeah, it's a
Courtyard Marriott.
Yeah, it's not a well-known fact, but I guess if you're in the biz, then you know that.
We're also here with Kate Quigley, who is playing the stage manager in the scene.
Yes,
Kate. First impressions of this theater, of this day.
Oh, the theater's amazing. It's so beautiful. You couldn't have picked a better spot. It's perfect size. Brad looks fantastic. Sexy as always, right? Of course. I'm excited for you. Look at him. He has all this nervous energy right now. He's dancing around. He's dancing.
I do. I'm going to be like nervous up until like 2 hours before, and then I'll be fine, and then 20 minutes before, I'll start freaking the fuck out.
I was going to ask, too, like, with a headline weekend, you don't get nervous?
No, because that's not going to be broadcast to hundreds of thousands of people. That's just the room.
With your last special, did you same nerves, or is this like when my Seahawks, after they destroyed your Broncos...
Oh, man.
And they went back to last year, and we don't even talk about how it ended. But when they went back, do you, like, you know, they were more confident and comfortable with all the media stuff. Is that similar with how you're dealing with today?
Yeah. Like, I know all the stuff that's going to happen. Now I know there's a good opportunity that things could, a fact about my last special, I ran on stage, and then they actually stopped because the cameras weren't rolling yet, and then I had to run on stage again. So that was the way that we kicked it off. So
I feel like the audience is so prime and pumped that they're like, "We'll give that to you again." Like,
yeah. And then I just got on the mic and I told a couple of quick jokes that weren't in my act, like to kind of give them, like, to make them more comfortable and be like, "All right, just act like you've never seen a dwarf run out in a vest before, and then you're really excited, just like you were."
Yeah. Now you don't have to do that tonight because I'm gonna warm it up for you.
That's right.
Any jokes I should not do or do?
Don't do any jokes about relationships, alcohol, black people, white people, differences between men and women.
You haven't said Tony Danza so far, so that's all I need to know.
You can only do Mona jokes. No. Can't do Tony Danza
what if
jokes.
You opened with a 17-minute Danza bit.
It'd be classic. I mean, yeah, sure. I think that would instantly become my version of Chris Rock's there's black people and then so I'd be on stage like, you know, there's Tony and then there's Mona. And Mona has got to go.
Kate, next weekend you're gonna host the AVN Awards.
The porn Oscars,
as they're called.
I know.
Now, we're talking about this because I had a legitimate question of, like, you watch porn, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot.
But what's, but this is like the, like you were saying, you watch the free stuff.
Right. I mostly watch the Pornhub, although I've learned that I need to be paying for my porn. That's what I've learned.
Who said that?
The two co-hosts that I'm working with, they're like, Kate, you can't pirate porn. That's horrible for business. So now. So
the same way people say that about music. Yeah. It's, wow.
But also the quality, now that I've started watching some professional porn.
The lighting's better.
The quality is better. And the people are hotter.
No shit?
Yeah, I feel like free porn is like watching a freak show. It's like the Venice Beach freak show versus like Ringling Brothers. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
I do know what you mean, because I've seen Ringling Brothers, and they put on a great show. Right. And coincidentally, a lot of fucking in the Ringling Brothers circus.
Yes, a lot of fucking, which is how clown fetish got started. I don't know if you knew that.
There's a clown fetish?
Yeah, you didn't know that. A whole episode of my Playboy show was about clown sex. Clown play is what they call it. Yeah. And that's what they said happens. They said sometimes, like, boys will go to the circus when they're, like, 13, when they're first getting boners.
We'll pick this up. We're going to block. Later. Yeah. Well, we are backstage right now. What time is it? We're maybe 4 hours away. Brad's getting his makeup done.
Hello. Hello there. This is how I talk before. Like, you heard my other voice. That's just my podcast voice.
I was going to say, what if this is how you actually spoke when you weren't on stage?
All the time.
Like, we're catching a raw Brad-like, you know, unplugged.
Oh, wait, you're recording this? Hey, guys. So excited to be back here for my special. Really thrilled. It's a wonderful opportunity. A lot of fun.
It is going to be a lot of fun. We are downstairs in the makeup room at the Alex Theater in Glendale, California. Yeah. Just hours away. Man, what a gorgeous venue. I don't know. I know you had some backups. You had the IHOP parking lot on Sunset all locked down.
Hey, don't hate on the IHOP parking lot. And I showed some class. It wasn't the Denny's parking lot, for God's sakes. I'm not a savage.
Well, and let's be honest, why the IHOP parking lot fell through. You said you wanted free strawberry pancakes, and they, what did they say?
There was a line in the sand. I demanded Rudy Tootie Fresh and Fruity. and they said, we can only give you Rudy and Tootie. It cannot be fresh or fruity.
Save it for the special. Save it. You're too funny now. You're peaking. Yeah, this is well, my first impressions. I'll give you those first before we get a few from Brad. But the venue is top notch. It looks like where, can I be honest? It looks like if Morgan Freeman were to make the transition into stand up and he was like, I want the greatest venue possible. I want it well lit. I want there to be many seats. I want it to look like some place that nobody has ever done stand up in before. I want to be the first. I wish I could tell you that I wouldn't crush it, but I probably would. What I'm trying to say is it's maybe one of the most beautiful theaters I think I've seen in a long time. And it's perfectly, the stage is set. And the family reserved place cards have been set. And the sign for the...
I want you or the guy that does NFL films to like narrate the opening of this, like some weird piano music in the background, like on a day, 69 degrees, nothing having to anything do with frozen tundra of Glendale, California.
Yeah, do all the staple like NFL, like yeah, the weather not having anything to do with an indoor.
Coming together, a man, a stage, and the sole mission in life. Just.
I mean, I never thought you'd ask. How are you feeling, Brad, though?
Right now I'm feeling fabulous because I got makeup being put on me by a very attractive woman who decided to wear a shirt that exposes her leopard bra.
Well, she got the Brad Williams contract.
Yeah, and I...
Which says what? What does your writer include?
I need bras exposed in my makeup artists.
No snacks, no booze.
No, don't really care. I mean, if you got a pack of gummy bears you picked up at the Lucky. Lucky? Really? I went there for a supermarket? Jesus.
Where's the Lucky?
Lucky was a supermarket that went out of business like 15 years ago here in Southern California. So,
you got any OJ jokes while you're at it?
Timely references. So did you hear about this President Reagan?
Yeah, you're getting...
I demand tattooed makeup artists with leopard bras. That's...
You did get...
Van Halen had green M&Ms. That's what I have.
You did get some pretty makeup gals. Ladies, what are your names?
Rio. Val.
Rio and Val. That kind of sounds like stripper names. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like,
come to the main stage. She's shaved all over. It's full Brazilian. It's Rio, everybody. And they play the Rio soundtrack.
That are like Duran Duran. Her name is Rio, and she dances on the sand.
My God, I just had a glimpse into what your stripper song would be.
I love it.
Oh yeah. Are you guys recording right now?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Get a little pre. We're gonna get some pre. All right, so we got to go block, and then and we'll get some more sights and sounds.
Adam's got one. And then,
I got my own. It's a little bit smaller, but just the dressing room.
Now, guys, Adam and Brad have a podcast together. It's called, About Last Night, and it's like one of the most popular podcasts. It's incredible. It like blows my podcast out.
That is not true, and I will be the first to say that. No.
I mean, the guest lineup is pretty solid on both.
The lineup.
Barry, you want to join us?
Yes, where do you want me? You want me
right here, yeah.
What have you done for people interviewing you or you interviewing?
That's a great question. Wow, I thought I was going to be running this podcast, but I think...
me interview people.
Well, what you don't know about your pops is that Barry is our most favorited and most highly recommended and suggested and welcomed back guest on our podcast.
Yeah, that
swear to God, tell him.
This is totally true. Everyone always tweets and texts about the knowledge that that is Barry Katz. So now, Barry, you've been to these specials. This is my second one. You've been here 1,000 times. Do you still get excited? Do you still get like the goosebumps?
I get excited not for myself. I'm very bored inside with myself, but I get really excited for the artist because. For you, it's like it's just so exciting to see all you've worked hard for. You've been working on this material for so long, and you've been, let's face it, trial and error. Even 3 months ago, when I said there might be a special in order, you said, I don't think I'm ready.
Not ready. I said I'm not ready yet. And, yeah, they wanted to shoot this back almost in December or November or I think it was even October. But, yeah, like,
only a few months after.
Yeah. and I just was like, I'm close, but I'm not there. And then, like you said, even 3 months later, the divine lightning bolt of creativity hit me. And by that, I mean I wrote like two more dick jokes. And then I was good.
That's really what propels any comedian to the awareness of, I'm ready.
Yeah. How could I, if I can only talk about my dick for five more minutes, I will have a solid hour. It's solid.
Now, Brian, I want to know, just because this is special number two.
See,
and
I can't talk. I don't have that much to talk about when it comes to my thing down there.
Oh, boy. Well, you know what? Maybe this is an opportunity, Barry, to shun all those naysayers and tweet your first cat's dick pic.
I'm the number one naysayer. That's the problem.
Well, I want to know two things. Brad, from your perspective, special number two, like I asked you before, relating it to my Seahawks making it to a second Super Bowl and not being nervous because they've been... All right. Those Seahawks fans can take this moment to please punch themselves in the dick and then walk out of the room. Boo. I get that. So do you... Number two, like, what are the... What do you think people are going to get different than they didn't get in the first one?
Well, hopefully, because right when I ran up on stage for the first special, I had a moment where I kind of stopped and looked around. And was like, oh, there's a camera on a crane. There's that camera. There's my family right there. The entire audience is lit, which is not usual for comedians, but for the TV, it kind of has to be. But now those things aren't going to spook me. Those things, I'm expecting that. Although, when I am talking about said penis with my mother in the second row...
Because you mentioned during the warm-up, you go, okay, this is why I'll be doing this. And there's a vocal warm-up they do to test the microphones. And so Brad's talking to the mic, walking around the stage, getting a feel for it. And you're saying, all right, this is what I'll do this here. Then I'll walk here. Then I'll say this dick joke. Then my mom will look at me like that and shake her head. Right?
Because you put your feet right up front.
Yeah. They're right up front. Now, when I started stand-up, and my parents would come see me, I actually would do a signal. I would like touch my ear, and that would cue my mom, hey, I'm going to start talking about sex jokes right now, so now leave. Yeah, get out. And because the first time I did some jokes of that nature in front of her, it was at the Bray Improv, and I did jokes like that. And then from the back, you just hear, ah! And that was very clear that was my mom. Just like, ah! Just like, and so I think I haunted her dreams for a good few years after that. I don't know if she's had enough vodka to Men in Black mind meld that thing away. So,
There is going to be now, like, material too different from... Can we do five more? Yeah? Thanks, Scotty. Scott Montoya, the man making this.
Just pulled this pubic hair off the.
Sweet God.
Sorry, it's really long. Like some people have a playoff beard. I go playoff pubic hair.
By the way, I will be isolating that piece of audio from Barry Katz. Can I just pull that pubic hair off real quick?
That's going to be my new ringtone.
And you will be able to sell.
It's like incredible. I mean, somebody commented on. They have a microphone that's like, or it's got colors not found in nature. It's like the brightest orange.
That's Bronco orange, Barry.
Oh, okay. All right.
What if this was the first time Barry ever saw the color orange, and we had that captured?
That would totally make sense.
Those are dope socks.
Yeah.
You got them? Where'd you get the orange socks at?
I forget. Sports Authority, I think we got those. Like, where you got this mic shield?
Well, that's a Sports Authority that is not yet sponsoring this podcast, but they sure as hell can.
If you want this piece of audio in, please send $50 to @AdamRayCox.
Holy shit, we're cheap.
You know why I'm excited about seeing this? Because it's exciting seeing you next to him. Yeah. Do you know why?
Why?
Because you're next.
Oh, man. Ooh. Next man up.
All right.
Yeah. Well, it's like, all right, you know that scene... Did you see the first Iron Man?
Yes.
Okay. There's a scene when Terrence Howard is running to go help Tony Stark or whatever, and he looks back and he sees the silver War Machine suit of armor, and he pauses for a second. And he goes, "Next time," and that's you. Wow. That's you right now.
You're
like
Terrence Howard, by the way.
Really? What's that, Terrence Howard? I don't know. Next time, my empire. I want to leave it to my children, this empire. But now do you look at this theater, Adam Ray, and be like, yeah, I definitely want something like this.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, this is, you know, you can't help but get giddy from the entire experience. And, yeah. You know, watching how, you know what I noticed, first of all, just from this whole thing, is just how, like, comfortable you are with every, like you just mentioned, like every, like having this many people around right now, like, you know, 20 minutes before showtime, you're just so locked in and basically just, like, waiting to hit the stage.
Yeah.
And that definitely, seeing that comfort level makes me pumped to see it. But then also, I'm taking note to be like, oh, yeah, like this is definitely something that I want to happen in the near future. Now, really quick before we wrap up, material wise, there's going to be a lot of family talk in this one.
Yeah.
And you've mentioned to me that it could get a little sentimental at points.
Yeah. If anyone listened to my appearance on Barry's podcast, The Industry Standard, I talked about the family, not doing the jokes, but, and then I got emotional on that podcast.
Have you ever cried on another podcast or anything like that?
I've never cried on another podcast, just yours. And
that's because he hasn't watched All Dogs Go to Heaven on a podcast.
It's a good one. Yeah. Oh man. So when I'm doing material about my dad and what he went through fighting cancer, and this is gonna be the first time that he's ever seen that material. And he's going to be in the second row.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Have you thought about that moment? Just, I mean, I would lock eyes with him. You're going to try to avoid looking at him, or are you going to call attention to him?
I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning today, and that was my thought of I'm going to have to look down and see my dad while I'm doing this material that sometimes just performing it out in Cincinnati, Ohio, that my family is nowhere near. I've teared up then. So I don't know what I'm going to do when I see my – and to have his brother, like my uncle right next to him, and then other family members and family friends that have gone through this entire thing with us now seeing it portrayed up on stage, it's good. It's – I can't tell you what's going to happen.
Yeah. Barry, close this out for us. All right. This is – I don't know how many specials you have been a part of, but it's a lot.
Probably over 30.
Over 30. That's a lot. Brad is your boy, and what do you, I mean, he knows what to do, he's a pro, but you obviously, I'm sure, have some just tidbits of knowledge that you would, like, what do you say to somebody like this who's ready to go? You almost feel like you don't need to say anything, but you want to say something.
Well, it's like when you look in the locker room of the Patriots and you're sitting across from Tom Brady, you don't really have to tell him what to do, but I think one of the things I always love is when somebody's doing stand-up is people think that they're going fast. You know, and then even when they think they're going slow, they're not going so slow. So I always say when you're doing a special, if you think you're going too slow, go slower. Because it's like people, there's so much laughter to embrace when you're in like a 1,400-seat theater as opposed to a comedy club. The joke that he does that kills there will get like 10, 12 more seconds of applause, and you don't want to step on those applause. And he's already going to do everything that I talk about, which is creating holy shit moments and being undeniable. So what are we worried about? You know everybody's going to stand. You know people are going to be emotional. And you know it's going to be a great night. And he's got his best friend next to him to watch it all and to be supportive.
Hell yeah. And Barry's referring to the bottle of Jack Daniels that is
right.
Also in the room. By the way, if you're playing the Barry Katz drinking game at home, he said undeniable and holy shit moments. So drink 6 and 8 respectively. Brad, we're all pumped for you.
Yep.
You look fucking incredible. You're wearing maroon pants. Maroon purple?
Maroon purple, inspired by Adam Ray.
Thank you. I just wanted to get that on record. Because for the longest time, you made fun of my purple pants, and then I lost them, which I think was kind of a sign from God, being like, hey, I don't want you to have to take this verbal abuse anymore. I will lose the pants for you, but you look amazing, and you're going to kill it.
Thanks, man. I'm excited, and we'll talk to you guys after I get off stage.
If you get off stage. What if you have so much fun? This is a fucking 9-hour special.
Yeah, this is going to be the Rip Van Winkle of specials.
Pull! That's a reference.
So, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.